صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل. رحم الله من يقرأ الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين، حبيب إله العالمين، أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآله. صلى الله عليك يا مولانا يا أبا عبد الله، صلى الله عليك يا ابن رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين، صلى الله عليك يا ابن فاطمة المظلومة، ما خاب من تمسك بكم وأمن من لجأ إليكم، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز والله فوزا عظيما. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في محكم كتابه، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إن الله اصطفى آدم ونوحا وآل إبراهيم وآل عمران على العالمين، آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم. أفلا من صلى على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد. For the love of Abba Abdullah al-Husayn, with the loudest of our voices, Sallu ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad. For the love of Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman, Arwahuna lahu al-Fida, Sallu ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammadin. Azzama Allahu ujurana wa ujurakum bi musabina bi Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. وجعلنا الله وإياكم من الطالبين بثأره مع إمام المنصور المعيد. Once again we thank Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this moment, this opportunity tonight being the eve of Arba'in of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu was-salam. It is the moment when the hairs of the matayas, especially that of Aba Abdullah, joined the body of Aba Abdullah in the holy land of Karbala. If brothers and sisters will recall very well, last night we discussed on the importance of positive change. And we highlighted in the course of our discourse of last night that we should strive as much as we can to change positively. Because our beloved master and savior, Aba Abdullah, went out to reform the ummah, went out to reform the nations. So hence the main aim and philosophy or the objectives of attending the majalis of Ahlul Bayt, especially in the holy month of Muharram and the month of Safar, is to reform ourselves. Once we are able to reform, then the community at large will reform and the family at large will reform. Tonight, being the night leading to the day of Arba'in, our topic of discussion will be to look at a day of Arba'in as a day of Zainab salamullahi alayha. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Because Zainab, no doubt, is the hero of Karbala. Without Sayyida Zainab alayha salam, we will not be sitting here tonight and be discussing about Karbala. And as you all know, there are few advocates of Karbala, meaning those who informed the world as to what transpired in Karbala. When you look at the camp of the enemies, there were those among them who informed the world about what transpired on the 10th day of Muharram. And when you look at the camp of Aba Abdullah, there were those also who informed the people and the world as to what transpired in the month of Muharram, especially on the day of Ashura. When you look at the camp of the enemies, number one, of course, we all know very well. When Mukhtar al-Thaqafi got hold of the enemies and he began to revenge what happened to Aba Abdullah and the members of Ahlul Bayt and the companions of Ahlul Bayt, the enemies that he caught hold of them, he asked them as to what they did in Karbala. And they began to narrate to Mukhtar what happened. One of them, of course, we all know is Harmala. Some said Hurmala. He, when Mukhtar got hold of him, Mukhtar asked him, what did you do on the 10th day of Muharram? And he narrated. So we got some information from there. And of course, you have Hamid ibn Muslim. Hamid ibn Muslim was tasked and employed by Yazid to be there on the field, not to fight against Ahlul Bayt and not to support the enemies. His duty was only to inform as to what happened. So he also was one of the people who informed us what happened in Karbala. So when we narrate the Masa'ib of Ahlul Bayt, we get him from these people. But when you come to the camp of our beloved master and savior, Aba Abdullah, you have the leader is Sayyida Zainab alayha salam. As we will explain tomorrow in the Maqtal of Arba'in, you will see the role that Zainab played in informing the world of what happened in Karbala. And of course, number two is Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. He also played the role of informing the world as to what happened in Karbala. And of course, we have Imam al-Baqir, salamullahi alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Narration taught us Imam al-Baqir was very young during Karbala. So he witnessed everything right from the beginning of the journey of Aba Abdullah until the end of the journey of Aba Abdullah. So it's so important for us to honor Sayyida Zainab alayha salam. Sayyida Zainab, as they mentioned, she is Sharikatul Husayn. Without Zainab, as I mentioned, there will be no Karbala. So let's dedicate tonight to this great personality and honor Zainab and cherish Zainab and pledge to follow the footsteps of Zainab alayhi salam. Because the meaning of honoring a personality is to be able to follow the footsteps of that personality. If we claim to love Ahlul Bayt and we claim to love Zainab alayhi salam, and we claim to love Imam Zain al-Abidin, the only way that will inform the Imam of our time that we love Zainab and that we love Imam Zain al-Abidin is our akhlaqs and behavior to conform with that of Zainab and Zain al-Abidin. But if we only mention with our mouths and tongues that we love Zainab alayhi salam, we love Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, we love Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, and yet our attitudes and behaviors are in contrary to that of Zainab and Zain al-Abidin, then that love will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The verse I've just quoted from Quran is from Quran 3:33. That is Surah Ali Imran. When you read this verse, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala inform us in this particular verse of the groups of families that he has chosen. And he began by saying, Inna Allah astafa Adama wa Nuhan wa Ala Ibrahim wa Ala Imrana ala al-alami. Look at the verse very well and let's analyze it. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala said, indeed, we've chosen Adam And not only Adam, we've chosen Noah alayhi salam, and also the family of Ibrahim and the family of Imran over all the people. Meaning these families that Allah is talking about them in this verse of Surah Al Imran. Allah is trying to tell I and you, they are the best families ever created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there are families that I and you should consider as our role models, to consider them as our icons, to take them as standard for our lives, and to consider them criteria for every single step that we take in our lives, will be this group of families mentioned by Allah in this Surah Al Imran. These are supposed to be our role models. We have to emulate them. We have to follow them. Allah says, I've chosen them. Here, when you go to the riwayat received from Ahlul Bayt, among the Ali Ibrahim who are chosen by Allah are Ali Muhammad. Meaning, Ali Ibrahim are Ali Muhammad. And one of the members of Ali Muhammad is Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala chose Zainab above all the women. And this verse is not only referring to imams, like our 12 imams or the 14 ma'sumin. No, it's referring to any member of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam who dedicated his or her life to Rasulullah and to Ahlul Bayt. Like Aliyun al-Akbar, like Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam, and of course Sayyida Zainab salamullahi alayha. Now, when you look at Karbala, when Aliyun al-Akbar went out, of course, after the father granted him the permission to go out, as Aliyun al-Akbar was in the field fighting and defending the humanity and the religion of Islam, Aba Abdullah al-Hussein made dua. And immediately after that dua, he recited this verse of Quran. Allahumma ishhad alayhim annahu baraza ilayhim Aliyun al-Akbar. كان أشبه الناس إلى نبيك وكنا إذا اشتقنا إلى رؤيتك أو إلى رؤية نبيك نظرنا إلى علي الأكبر. When Ali went out to the battlefield and he was fighting, defending, Aba Abdullah made dua and said, Ya Allah, be a witness that these people have surrounded my son Ali al-Akbar. But this Ali, who is faced with these people and this challenge, he is the one, when you talk of a resemblance to Rasulullah, there is no one who can come next to Ali ibn al-Akbar. And then Imam al-Hussein said, whenever we crave to see Rasulullah, whenever we remember Rasulullah, we look at Ali ibn al-Akbar. And then immediately Aba Abdullah recited this verse. Inna Allah astafa Adama wa Nuhan wa ala Ibrahima wa ala Imrana ala al-alami dhurriyatan ba'duha min ba'd. Meaning Aba Abdullah is highlighting that no, these people of Ali Ibrahim who are chosen, Ali ibn al-Akbar is one of them. Now the same thing as you mentioned, Sayyida Zainab, no doubt she's one of them. Because Sayyida Zainab is the voice of Aba Abdullah. Sayyida Zainab is extension of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. So therefore tonight our discussion will be of the three following stages. The first stage, all will be about the personality of Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam. The first stage, we will look at the isma of Zainab alayhi salam. Is Zainab ma'asum or not? We all know we have 14 ma'asumin. Is Zainab one of them? No. In the name Zainab is not there. Ali ibn al-Akbar is one of them? No. So what is the position of Zainab when it comes to Isma? We need to know this as lovers and followers of Zainab alayhi salam. Number two, we will look at the knowledge of Zainab. There are two types of knowledge which I will discuss. Which one of it is the knowledge of Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam, so that we will be able to appreciate our beloved mom Zainab salamullahi alayha. And then last but not least, we will look at the azama, the greatness of Zainab, her political stand in Karbala in Kufa and in Sham. We'll look at it briefly. And then we'll look at her spiritual stand, how spiritual Zainab was. And then, of course, we will look at her revolutionary stand throughout the journey, right from Medina up until Karbala and from Karbala to Sham. And then at the end, inshallah, we'll touch a little bit on the concept of Arba'in to get some more information as to what is expected of us, the lovers and followers of Ahlul Bayt, on a night like this and tomorrow morning. Now, we all know our Akida as lovers and followers of Ahlul Bayt is that all prophets of Allah, including all our imams, are infallible. Yes, some scholars don't want to use the word infallible. They like to use the word sinless. So we agree as through our teachings, our theology, that all prophets of Allah, without exception, and all our 12 imams, of course, including Fatima al-Zahra and Rasulullah, they are all ma'sumin. They never committed a sin. They had the choice to commit, but they refrained from committing a sin. Now, is Zainab ma'sum? No, she's not in the 14. Is she a sinner? No. So where do we put in Zainab alayhi salam? It is very important to understand this, brothers and sisters. Where do you put Ali ibn al-Akbar? Because we know it's only 14 ma'sumin. Where do you put Bibi Fatima ma'suma, the sister to Imam Ridha in Qum al-Muqaddasa? Where do you put them? Here scholars come for the answer. The asma is of two types. Pay attention. We have the asma iqtida'iyya. We have the asma fi'liyya. Iqtida'iyya means of accidental fallibility. And then we have actual and real fallibility. What does it mean? When we say iqtida'iyya, this type of asma is for one to have some sort of knowledge in his life. What type of knowledge are we talking about here? Like to have a knowledge of a particular sin. I know when I commit this sin, the repercussion in my life will be this and that. So hence the sin becomes disgusting to you. None of us drink alcohol here. There's no one here who drinks. Because we have the knowledge that it's harmful, it's dangerous. So it becomes disgusting to us. So when it comes to alcohol, you are masoom. You don't go there. So when you call isma iqtida'iyya, it's a sort of knowledge Allah give us, of course, based on our effort and determination, for us to understand something. And to understand something, no, this type of worship of Allah, this type of munajat, when I do it, I get closer to Allah and it helps me in my life. So to have that knowledge, you are called ma'asum in that folder. The second form of asma is asma fi'liya. Actual or real asma. This asma, what does it mean? They said, saytaratul aql ala tasarrufatil insan. It's the control of intellect over the action of every person. Yani, when your intellect, you remember last night we spoke about it, is able to control all your actions, and your actions succumb to the role of your intellect and to the direction of your intellect, you become masoom. Example, we have doctors here. When the patients are brought to you, sometimes for surgery, sometimes you may spend 1 hour with the surgery, in the surgery. And you are working on this person. And the person eventually will go out successfully. That is fi'liya. You have a control over what you are doing. You have mastered the knowledge. That's the asma form. Sometimes, no, our boys and girls go to examination hall in madrasa. The question papers are given to each and every one of them. You will find some of them will sit and write all questions correctly. Yani, they have control. The akal is controlling everything. The same thing when it comes to Sayyidah Zainab Ali ibn al-Akbar alayhi salam. They put their tasarrufat actions under the control of their intellect. Hence, they never committed a single sin.
Allah's decree is that 14 are the known ones, but they are ma'asumin bil ismatil fi'liyah. Zainab alayhi salam had control over her actions completely. She put the actions under control. Hence, scholars came forward and said, intellect is of two kinds. We have aklon garizi, we have aklon ektisabi. Instinctual intellect and acquired intellect. What is instinctual intellect? That is what differentiates us and animals. The only difference between we and animals is that we have this instinct. That's instinctual intellect. You are able to reason. But what is acquired intellect? On top of this instinctual intellect, you are able to read the future. And as a result of that, you stay away from things 1 year, 2 years before they happen. Therefore, she's called Aqila to Zainab. Aqila Aql. Zainab's Aql was a very powerful Aql. Somebody asked our Sif Imam, because our Sif Imam was asked, what is the meaning of Aql? Said, Ma ubida bihi rahman wa ktusiba bihi al-jinan. Aql is what Allah is worshipped with. And Jannah will be aimed on the usage of Aql. So the person asked him then, Banu Umayyah, did they have Aql or not? Then Imam Jafar said, Nukara, their Aql is not a right Aql. So number one, Zainab ma'asuma bil ismatil fi'liya. Her Aql controls her actions. Hence, she followed each and every teachings of Islam. So when somebody come and ask me, is she ma'asum? Yes, not like Imam al-Husayn. Yes, not like Imam al-Hasan al-Mushtaba. But her isma is to that level also. Number two is the knowledge of Zainab alayhi salam. Imam Zain al-Abidin ma'asum. Who was the Imam of the time of Zainab? And you know, Ma'asum is always inspired by Allah. How did he describe Zainab? He said, Anti bihamdillah, alima ghayr mu'allama, wa fahima ghayr mufahama. He said, Anti bihamdillah, you Zainab, through the grace of Allah, you are a scholar without a teacher. And you have understood what you have understood without someone to make you understand. Now, what sort of knowledge is that? Knowledge is of two kinds. We have ilmu iktisabi, we have ilmu ladunni. We have acquired knowledge, and we have knowledge by presence. Example. Knowledge by presence is a knowledge which you are inspired by Allah. Because of the cleanliness of your heart, you purify your heart, then Allah will inspire you, like Rasulullah mentioned, Al-ilmu nurun yakdhifuhu Allahu fi qalbi man yasha. Knowledge is a light. Allah places it in the heart of the one he pleases. Now when you look at the mother of Musa alayhi salam, wa awhayna ila ummi Musa an ardi'ih fa in khifti fa alkihi fil yammi wa la takhafi wa la tahzani inna radduhu ilayki wa ja'iluhu min al mursalin. Allah said, we've revealed unto the mother of Musa what to do about Musa alayhi salam. If you scared, then put him into the sea, but we'll make sure he'll come back to you as a messenger of Allah. Now, what knowledge was it? It was inspiration that Allah inspired the mother of Musa. It is not like the revelation of any other prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was inspirations. Allah inspired the mother of Musa with ilmul ladunni. That is knowledge by presence. No doubt all of us here and there, we have knowledge, but your love for someone is knowledge by presence. Nobody taught you to love somebody. Your hatred towards somebody, may God forbid, is knowledge by presence. But any knowledge that you go, you sit, someone teaches you, it is what we call acquired knowledge. You remember the riwayah from Amir al-Mu'mineen, where Amir al-Mu'mineen talks about his knowledge as he got it from Rasulullah. He said, Allamani Rasulullah al-Fababin. يَفْتَهُ لِي كُلَّ بَابٍ أَلْفَ بَابٍ. Rasulullah taught me 1,000 doors of knowledge. And then each door is opening another 1,000 doors. What does it mean? The first part of the riwayah is referring to acquired knowledge. Rasulullah taught me, meaning Amir learned from Rasulullah. So it is acquired knowledge to Amir al-Mu'mineen. But the second one, each door is opening another door. It's not acquired knowledge, it's knowledge by presence. So when Imam Zain al-Abidin said to Zainab alayhi salam, "Alima ghayru mu'allama," a scholar without a teacher, without a tutor. Which type of knowledge is that? This is not acquired knowledge. This is knowledge by presence. Ali Ma'asum Imam Zain al-Abidin, he was referring to Zainab like that. So I think we don't know Zainab. We need to start learning about Zainab alayhi salam. The third point is the Azama of Zainab. The greatness of this lady, the daughter of Amir al-Mu'mineen. The first one is a political stand. You know, Zainab, according to narrations, knew what was going to happen in Karbala from the age of 3. As young as she was, because Rasulullah now and then would inform them. Now and then he would place Hussein on his chest. Now and then tears would overflow from the eyes of Rasulullah. So the whole house knew what was going to happen to such an extent. One day, when Rasulullah was informing them about Karbala, Abu Abdullah asked Rasulullah, "Where will then be my father? Will he be buried next to me or will he be buried far from me?" So Zainab from young age she knew. Hence Hamid ibn Muslim, the man I spoke about earlier on, he reported by saying, he said, "On Shami Gariba that night, in the middle of the night," he said, "Zainab came out quietly and silently and she went to the body of Aba Abdullah." Hamid Muslim said, "What did she do? What did she do?" She then lifted the head of Hussein and she said, "Allahumma Rabbana takabbal minna hadha al-qurban." Oh Allah, accept this qurbani for us. Yani Zainab was very brave. She was very strong. She had to go out, lift that head Mubarak of Aba Abdullah. Said, "Ya Allah, we have nothing to complain. We only plead with you to accept us. I and you, when we stand for salah, in one state are we. When you do charity, you give sadaqah, you give khums. Someone they give, they bragging themselves. We are helping. We are doing this." No. You have to be in a state between hope and fear. State of hope, Allah will accept. Fear, I don't know if he will accept or not. Zainab alayhi salam, in that political stance of her, she taught us always to be between hope and fear. Yani, we shouldn't take things for granted. Whatever good you do, have a hope that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will accept it. Hence, Amir Muslim reported by saying, we all of a sudden heard Zainab repeating what Hussein alayhi salam was reciting during the day on the 10th day of Muharram. Taraktu lakhalka turran fi hawaka. وأيتمت العيال لكي أراك ولو كتعني بالحب إربا لما مال الفؤاد إلى سواك. Amir Muslim said, Zainab will repeat, you all know the sayings of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I've left everything, Hussein is saying, I've left Medina, I've left Mecca, everything of this world, I've left it, Allah. تركت الخلق ترا completely في هواك because of your love, Allah. And I'm making my children orphans because of you, Allah. Ya Allah, if they will chop me, Hussein, into pieces, my heart will not divert to anyone until to you, Allah. Zainab will repeat that. That shows that Zainab was a very strong leader. Her political stance was very powerful. Zainab alayhi salam, being the close companion of Aba Abdullah, to Aba Abdullah, she would only plead with Allah, Rabbana takabbal minna hadha al-qurban. Number two is the spiritual component of Zainab alayhi salam, her azama. You know very well, when they took them to the palace of Ibn Ziyad. Ibn Ziyad was mocking, he was laughing. You remember at one stage he brought the head, Huli brought all those heads, and he took a golden plate and he placed the head of Imam al-Hussein and he started poking the lip of Abu Abdullah. So when they came into the palace, Ibn Ziyad was like proud and arrogant, mocking, laughing, teasing them. Now he asked Zainab. This is spirituality of Zainab I want us to learn, brothers and sisters. Every year scholars mention this thing, but we don't reflect, we don't ponder. We need to start pondering. We need to start reflecting. We need to start emulating. We need to start bringing these teachings to our life. Let Imam Zaman see us implementing the teachings of Karbala. Ibn Ziyad, look at her. You imagine you killed my brother. You sat on the chest of my brother. You stabbed on the neck of my brother 12 times. And yet you are telling me, what can you tell me about the work of the Amir al-Mu'minin towards your father, your brother, and the companions of your family? What have you seen? Zainab, is there any conclusion? What did she see? We all know. Ma ra'aytu illa jamila. I've seen nothing except beauty. Because she saw with insight, not eyesight. Ru'ya kalbiya, she saw with the insight, not eyesight. Eyesight can deceive, but here cannot deceive her. This is what Allah wants. Al-kalbu haramullah. This is the sanctuary of Allah. If you look after it and you purify it, it will see nothing but beauty. Zainab said, I've seen nothing except the beauty. Hussein is lying there, not buried. The head of Hussein mounted on spear. The head of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas mounted on spear. Where was Muhammad and Aun? She lost her sons. Still, she said, Ma ra'aytu illa jamila. I've seen nothing but beauty. This is beautiful. This is spiritual beauty. Hence, she quoted the verse, Wala tahsabanna allazina zalamu. Those who have done injustice, they shouldn't think that Allah is not seeing and watching. So Zainab alayhi salam, her azama and profound estate is that everything she did was for Allah. Let's do that, brothers and sisters. Isn't it scholars always taught us, whoever makes one step towards Allah, Allah make 10 steps towards him. You make 10 steps towards him. You make how many steps? 100 steps towards you. How many steps do we take towards Allah? So Zainab taught us to be like that with our spirituality. Hence, when we say, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutmainna, Zainab is one of the verifications of this verse of glorious Quran, that she was at peace in the land of Karbala. The third verse of the azama of Zainab alayhi salam is the revolutionary side of Zainab. Where did we get that from? In Sham. In the court of Yazid. Allahu Akbar. There will be no lady like Zainab, wallahi. It's only one Zainab and it's over. Zainab looking after the children, protecting Imam Zain al-Abidin because he's the Imam of the time. Looking after the women, Daylam, Sakina, Kulthum, Rukayya, looking after all of them. Yet when they arrived in the court of Yazid, Yazid was sitting, and then Zainab came forward with all the bruises on the face of Zainab. And as we all know, even Hind, the wife of Yazid, used to work for Amir al-Mu'minin, did not recognize Zainab alayhi salam because the face changed completely. With all the slaps in Bazari Sham, look at what Yazid said to Zainab. Let's Yani, we need to appreciate this lady. And the only way to appreciate her, let her see tonight as we are gathering here and reciting this Arba'in Majalis, let Allah and his angels show Zainab, these are your lovers and followers. They are more than willing to implement your teachings in their life. Then Zainab will be happy. Then Fatima al-Zahra will be happy. Now you know what Yazid said to Zainab. Zainab, you are defeated. And we are triumphant. He kept on talking and laughing and smiling. And this lady was tied with rope, standing in the court. But look at the revolutionary side of Zainab alayhi salam. Zainab, of course, first quoted verses of Quran. Always they would quote verses of Quran. Said, those who disbelieve in Allah and think that they have everything on the face of the universe. Innama numli lahum liyazdadu ithma. We only giving them so that they will keep on continuing sinning against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Zainab look at Yazid. Who can be brave like Zainab like this? Kid kaidak wasa asayak wanasib juhdak fa innaka la tamhu zikrana wala tumitu umurana. Zainab says, Yazid, kid kaidak, make all your tricks in front of everyone in that khutbah of Zainab alayhi salam. Was asayak, make all effort you want to make, O Yazid. Wanasib johdak, and do every effort that you want to put here. But innaka la tamhu dhikrana, you will never delete our remembrance. Hence, all of you are sitting here tonight remembering Zainab alayhi salam. And you will never kill and cause to death our affairs, Ahlul Bayt. Then you know what she said to him? Yazid, whatever opinion you have, it will come to an end. And your days are numbered in this world. This is the lady that we're talking about. Hence we say she is the extension of Aba Abdullah. Like the way Hakima, the daughter of Imam al-Jawad, was the extension of Imam Hasan al-Askari and Imam al-Hadi. Because you know Imam al-Hadi and Imam al-Hasan al-Askari, may Allah bless us, the ziyara of Samarra. Allah, I regard myself as the most fortunate person. Today I am sitting here and I'm talking to all of you. Many people online are listening. Imam al-Hasan al-Askari had even no two people to listen to him. He would always report. Like, you know, you're under parole. Every now and then you have to report to police station. This what happened to Imam al-Askari alayhi salam. So Imam would always refer people to Hakima, the daughter of Imam al-Jawad. The same thing Aba Abdullah referred all of us to Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam. She is the extension of Aba Abdullah. So if you want to know more about Aba Abdullah, you should be able to know it through Zainab alayhi salam. Although sometimes, you know, we make a little bit of mistakes in trying to differentiate between Zainab al-Sugra and Zainab al-Kubra. You know, we have a Zainab al-Sugra and we have a Zainab al-Kubra. The Zainab we are talking about, she is Zainab al-Kubra, Aqila to Zainab, the one who is buried in Sham. The wife of Abdullah ibn Jafar. But Zainab al-Sugra is who? The wife of a Muslim born Aqil. The one who is known to be Umm Kulthum. She was the one who sat next to the body of Aba Abdullah. Because by then Zainab, Aqila, she was busy protecting the children. Hamida, Sukaina, all of them, she was protecting them. Imam Zain al-Abidin wanting to come out and defend the father, Aqila to Zainab will protect. The one who went and sat next to the body of Aba Abdullah was Zainab al-Sugra, the wife of Muslim Ibn Aqil. Because her daughter Hamida was there with them. And she started crying. And she was one of those who said to Hussein alayhi salam, on the eve of Ashura, please take us back to Madinatul Munawwara. Now tonight is the night of Arba'in. And of course she is buried in Misr, in Egypt. Zainab al-Sugra is buried in Egypt. And Zainab al-Kubra is buried in Sham. May Allah bless at the ziyarah of Sham, inshallah. Arba'in is very important moment for the lovers and followers of Ahl al-Bayt. You can imagine, Zainab was in prison for quite a long time. The body of Aba Abdullah was alone in Karbala. You imagine your dad, your mom, your brother, your sister, your co-worker died, and they beheaded him and took the head from you. You don't know when is the head coming to join the body. How are you going to feel, my brother? This is for Sayyidu Shuhada, Sayyidu Shababi Ahli Jannah. Therefore, Arba'in is so important. We will never relax until the head joins the body. That is the meaning of Arba'in. Yani, the pain began after Ashur. You know the pains that Ahlul Bayt went through before Arba'in, before the head joined the body? Hence, when you read Quran, you find Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in Quran 2, verse 51, mentioned the kalima Arba'in. وَإِذْ وَعَدْنَا مُوسَى أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً. Which he talks about Musa alayhi salam, when Musa overpowered Pharaoh, when Pharaoh and his people got thrown into the sea, and then they went into Palestinian land, and the people of Musa, after they were saved from the tricks of Pharaoh, they saw people worshipping small idols. They were calving, and they requested from Musa. Hence, Musa requested to go to his Lord for spirituality. What is wa'adna Musa arba'ina layla? 40 days Musa went. By the time he came, Samiri deceived them. That's the verse where Allah mentioned 40. And the same story of Musa alayhi salam, Allah mentioned it in Quran 7 verse 142. Where he mentioned it in twofold. Where he said, we called Musa to us for 30 days, then we added 10. What is the difference between the two? 40 days in the knowledge of Allah, but 30 plus 10 in the knowledge of Musa. Now, all prophets of Allah, they had a strong relationship with 40, as we all know. The clay which Adam was created from, it was molded according to riwaya for a period of 40 days. After 40 days, that clay was used to create Adam alayhi salam. And you find both prophets, Sulaiman and Dawood, they all ruled and governed for a period of 40 years each. And the same thing when you go to other prophets like Nuh alayhi salam, the rain which poured during the time of Nuh, they said it poured for a period of 40 days, then after that it stopped. The same thing you look at Isa, Jesus alayhi salam. Jesus, Allah sent him to desert. He was wandering in the desert to achieve spirituality. Scholars said he remained there for a period of 40 days. Then he came back. Our own beloved prophet, his message was announced when he achieved or met the age of 40. That was when Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala announced the message of Rasulullah. Hence, Quran very clear. Quran 46 verse 15 made it clear that the maturity of a person began at the age of 40. Meaning when you reach 40, you become very matured. Hence, we have a spiritual hadith that says that when a person reaches 40 or above 40 and is not spiritual, he or she doesn't bother about his religion and faith, Shaitan will look at the person and say, may my mom and father be ransomed for you. You will not achieve success in your life. So when you are 40 and you are not religious, it becomes a problem. Shaitan will say, my mom, Iblis, the least will say, may my mom and father become a ransom for you because you will not achieve success. And as they mentioned, life begins at 40. But it doesn't mean that under 40 you should waste your time also. And the same thing, we have a riwayah that says that whoever practices an act of worship for a period of 40 days with the intention of wanting to change, by the end of that period, wisdom will stream from his heart and from his mouth. You want to change your salah. You want to change your wudu. You want to change the recitation of Quran. You practice it for a period of 40 days. And the same thing, we have a riwayah that we are told. Whoever memorizes 40 hadith, ana madinatul ilmu aliyun babu one, Fatima to Bada atu minni two. Small hadith, if you memorize 40 and you try to implement them, you will be raised on the day of Qiyamah among the scholars. So 40 is so important. The same thing we are told, whoever drinks alcohol for one day, your salat will not be accepted for 40 days. And the same thing, whoever gossip for one day, your salat will not be accepted for 40 days. So 40 is so important that it has to do with our spirituality. You remember the famous riwayah that says, when you stand, this is your house, and you count 40 houses, these are your neighbors, isn't it? You stand another 40 houses here, these are your neighbors. One of our Maraji gave it a very beautiful interpretation. He said, no, there is a mystical dimension to this riwayah. He said, what is the mystical dimension? You remember I mentioned, when you take your soul, you have four things around your soul, four faculties. Faculty of imagination, faculty of intellect, faculty of desire, and faculty of anger. Some of you are listening, mashallah. So they said, for you to master each faculty, it has to take you 40 days to master each faculty. You want to master faculty of anger, dedicate 40 days to work on your anger. You want to master faculty of desire, 40 days. So 40 is so important within the religion of Islam. Hence, we are told by Rasulullah, if you guide a blind person for 40 steps, you will be granted Jannah on the day of Qiyamah. What does it mean, blind? Blind doesn't mean the one who cannot see. Blind means someone who does not have a hidayah. You take his hand, you hold the hand, you start guiding him slowly but surely. Allah will grant you Jannah on the day of Qiyamah. Hence, narration says, when you lose your loved ones, this is a beautiful tradition from Rasulullah. You lose your father and you lose your mom. It is recommended that on the 40th day, you organize a majlis and remember them. You know why? Why narration says that? Narration says because, number one, the earth cry for a believer for 40 days. Because the believer makes salat on the earth. So earth enjoy the salat of a believer. When you die, the earth will mourn for you for 40 days. Another narration says, no. When a person dies and is buried in barzakh, you go in your grave. You know, grave, sometimes body will decompose completely. Only few fortunate ones, their body will not decompose. The body will rot, it will decompose. The life in barzakh is not with the body, as we all know. They said, your soul will make to and fro between your grave and your house. The soul will only settle in the life of a barzakh on the 40th day. Hence, on the 40th day, we are recommended to recite dua, a'amal, and ibadah. And Imam al-Bakr taught us, the earth cried for Aba Abdullah for 40 days, and it turned into black color. And the heaven cried for Aba Abdullah for 40 days, and it turned into red color. Hence, if earth cry for a believer, then the best of all the believers is Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. Hence, when we meet on Arba'in, we are meeting to renew our allegiance to Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين وابن سيد الوصيين كل عين باقية يوم القيامة Illa aynan bakat lil Husayn. Narration says, ever I will cry on the day of Qiyamah
Accept the eye that cry for our beloved master and savior Abba Abdullah. Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam reported to have said in a famous tradition, he said, whoever feels sad and sorrow or cry for the musibah of Ahlul Bayt, eh wallah, that cry and sorrow will be regarded as tasbih for him in the eye of Allah. And say, Imam al-Ridha, look at Ibn al-Shabib. He said, Ibn al-Shabib, in kunta baqiyan fabqi lil-Husayn. Oh, the son of Shabib, whatever you have lost, whatever calamity, whatever musiba that you go in your life, if you want to cry for it, the best way to cry is to cry for Husayn alayhi salam. Now, tonight is the night of Arba'in. Let us go back to the holy land of Karbala. Let us go and page all the masa'ib of Ahlul Bayt leading to the day of Arba'in. Last night we remembered our beloved Master Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam. Imam Zain al-Abidin asked Umm al-Banin al-Arba, oh Umm al-Banin, why is it that whenever Uncle Abbas' name is mentioned, you do not cry, Umm al-Banin? She said, wallah, I cry for Hussein because there was no one to cry for Hussein in Karbala. As Imam Zain al-Abidin said to Umm al-Banin, oh Umm al-Banin, Uncle Abbas never left Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. He left with the lash of water to bring to Sakina. Imam Zain al-Abidin said, oh Umm al-Banin, we saw Uncle heading towards the water of Furat. Uncle picked up the water. He placed the water next to his lip. Then Uncle addressed his soul. Oh soul, you cannot drink from this cold water when your master is going to be fed from the syrup of sword. Imam Zain al-Abidin said, oh Umm al-Banin, we saw Uncle did not drink the water. Uncle came back and rode the horse. We saw Uncle heading towards us. And then someone appeared behind and chopped off the right hand of our uncle. He said, oh Umm al-Banin, we saw Uncle struggling to hold the flag and the banner. Uncle was struggling to hold the lash. But all of a sudden, someone appeared from behind and chopped off the left hand of Uncle. He said, oh Umm al-Banin al-Arba, we saw someone struck his arrow on the right eye of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. Imam Zain al-Abidin said, oh Umm al-Banin, we heard our uncle Abbas when he was falling down calling, wa alayka salam ya Aba Abdullah. You know, narration says Aba Abdullah came out and he headed towards Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. But what is so hurtful and touchy is that Abbas was underground and he could not see anymore. Narration says the blood blocked the eyes of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. And you know, we are told when Abbas was born, he only opened his eye when Hussein took him. Here is Abbas at the last moment of his life. He could not see Hussein alayhi salam. But narration says when Abu Abdullah got closer to the body of Abbas, Abbas didn't know it was Abu Abdullah. So Abbas said, oh man, do not hurt me anymore. I want to bid final farewell to my master. But Abu Abdullah said, oh Abbas, I am sorry. I could not help you, oh Abbas. But the most hateful part of the musibah of Abbas, not to prolong on that, is that that was that painful dialogue between Hussein and Abbas. You know what Abu al-Fadl Abbas said to Hussein? He said, oh my Mawla Hussein, say to Zainab, I am sorry. And he said, oh my Mawla Hussein, tell Sakina I'm sorry, I couldn't bring the water back to her. The next of Ahlul Bayt was remembered by Sayyida Zainab, later was Ali Yunil Akbar.
You know, Akbar alayhi salam was the beloved son of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Akbar was granted permission by his beloved father, as we all know. Akbar headed towards the battlefield. And as narration taught us, Layla, because Layla was one of the survivors, she survived in Karbala. She was there in Arba'ina. Layla wouldn't look at the battlefield. She would only look at the complexion of the face of Hussein. At one stage, she saw the complexion of the face was changing. Huh? Then she came next to Hussein. She said, "Oh, Hussein, what is happening to my son?" Abu Abdullah said, "Layla, Allah promised to answer the dua of mother for her son. Go and make dua." Layla made the famous dua. "Ya Allah, you were the one who brought Yusuf back to Yaqub. Bring Akbar back to us. Ya Allah, you were the one who rescued Ismail. Bring Akbar back." Narration says before she landed with the dua, Akbar was coming back. And Akbar was saying, "Al-Atash, Al-Atash, Al-Atash. First, 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 first. Oh, father, the ammo is killing me. And the heat of Karbala is burning me." Narration says Abu Abdullah made an attempt to quench the thirst of Akbar. You know what he did? It is said Abu Abdullah placed his tongue into the mouth of Akbar. But what Akbar said to Abu Abdullah is so hateful. You know what he said to Akbar? Abu Abdullah, he said, "Father, your mouth is drier than my mouth." But then Akbar went back to the battlefield. Akbar fought and fought and fought until they dug the dagger on the chest of Akbar. Then Akbar raised up his hand, passing salam unto the father. Narration says the father came out of Khaymaga and he took a wrong direction. Sakina called out, "Papa, Papa, where are you going?" He turned towards Sakina. "I am going to Akbar." Abu Abdullah, Sakina said, "You have taken a wrong direction. Akbar is there. Why are you going there?" He said, "Wallah, Sakina, it kills me to know Akbar is going." But what is hateful about Akbar, narration said, Zainab was standing and she was watching. Zainab was watching, and Zainab was looking what was happening. Now, Abu Abdullah, when he reached the body of Akbar, he was wondering why Akbar passing salam with one hand today. Was always Akbar would raise the two hands and would hug the father. When Abu Abdullah reached close to the body of Ali ibn al-Akbar, he found that Ali was covering the dagger with one hand. This is where Arbab al-Maqatil said, Abu Abdullah then faced towards Najaf al-Ashraf. He said, "Wa alayka salam ya Amir al-Mu'mineen." Arbab al-Maqatil said, "Abu Abdullah, here you are in Karbala. You are lifting dagger from the chest of your son, but the father was lifting the door of Khaybar." But now narration says Akbar in that final moment would smile and he would cry at the same time. "Baba Akbar, why are you smiling?" He said, "I see Rasulullah. Rasulullah telling me, come, you are coming to us, we'll quench your thirst." Said, "Baba Akbar, why crying? Why crying?" He said, "I see Fatima Zahra slapping on her cheek." Now, in conclusion, on the 10th day of Muharram, narration says, this is the musiba of Zainab alayhi salam. Abu Abdullah turned left and right. There was no Zainab, there was no Akbar, there was no Asgar, there was no Abbas anymore. It is said Abu Abdullah then headed towards the water of Furat. As he was going to the water of Furat, enemies were coming. He was warding them off completely. So Umar ibn Zabibi had 4,000 soldiers to attack Hussein. When he saw the way Hussein was warding them off, he ran away. Hussein went and picked up the water from Furat. I want you to listen to this musiba. And he took the water to Zuljanan. Zuljanan refused to take the water. Imam Hussein insisted Zuljanan should take the water. Zuljanan refused. Arbab al-Maqatil said, as if they knew Hussein was going to be fed with the syrup in Karbala of Swat.
But now when Umar ibn Sa'd realized that Hussein was busy trying to give water to Zuljinnah, and he would drink the water, they called out from their tent, Hussein is busy drinking water while they are attacking Zainab. Hussein rushed because he loved Zainab alayhi salam. He left the water. He did not drink the water. Like the way Abbas did not drink the water, Hussein did not drink the water. Like the way Aun and Muhammad did not drink the water. Because when Hussein got to the body of Aun, Aun said to Abba Abdullah, "Oh uncle, are you proud of me?" Hussein said, "Yes, I'm proud of you." Then Aun said to Abba Abdullah, "Tell my mom I did not drink the water, because I know she is thirsty." Abba Abdullah rushed to the Khaymagah. He saw there was nothing. They were not attacking. They only did not want Hussein to drink the water. That was the time he bidded the final painful farewell. And there was no Sakina there. Hussein asked Zainab, "Where is my Sakina?" Zainab said, "Oh Abba Abdullah, it is difficult for Sakina to bid farewell." Abba Abdullah went towards Sakina. Sakina requested, "Papa, take us back to Medina before you go." Abba Abdullah said, "Sakina, sabor, sabor." He headed towards the battlefield. Sakina followed him. She said, "Papa, last hug. I want last hug." Narration says she was with Rukayya. As he was bidding the farewell, Umar ibn Sa'd called out, "This is my final musibah." He called out, "Don't allow Hussein's face. Go and attack Hussein." Narration says they started coming towards the Abba Abdullah. Abba Abdullah left Sakina and Rukayya. He went to the battlefield. He defended, he warded them off several times. All of a sudden, one of them struck his arrow on the forehead of Abba Abdullah. Narration says, as Hussein was trying to remove the arrow from the forehead, another arrow came on the chest of Abba Abdullah. Narration says, as he was trying to remove the arrow from the chest, another arrow came on the back of Abba Abdullah. Flash of arrows on Abba Abdullah. You know where was Zainab? Tell Zainab. Mahalan, mahalan, yabna Zahra. Oh, heste, oh, farzande Zahra. Now they walked the same and surrounded Abba Abdullah until someone struck one arrow on him and he fell down. Arbab al Makatil said Hussein was like a hedgehog on the ground. But you know, one final moment. They did not know whether Hussein was dead or not. And they didn't know how to detect whether he was alive or not, because Hussein was like a hedgehog on the ground. You know what Umar ibn Sa'd and Shumar did? They said, "No, let's say go and attack Zainab again. He loves Zainab, he will rise up, we will see. If he's dead, he will not rise up because he loves Zainab." But you know what happened? Narration says Umar ibn Sa'd called out, "Go and attack Zainab." Allahu Akbar. They said Abba Abdullah tried to rise up, then he fell on his back on an arrow. Now Abba Abdullah fell on his back. They came, surrounded the body. This one struck the leg of Hussein. The other one kicked the head of Hussein. The other one kicked the chest of Hussein. You know, Arbab al-Makatil said, they threw his body from one corner to another. That's why when you go to Karbala, you realize that he was not buried where he died. He died some one place and came to another. They threw his body from one point to another. Narration says, now Umar ibn Sa'd wanted the one who would finish Hussein. Remember Zainab at Talle Zainab. Talle Zainab, may Allah bless you the blessings of the Ziyar of Karbala. She was standing at Talle Zainab and she was seeing what was happening. This fellow came, he couldn't, because Hussein would recite verses of Quran. One Christian came trying to finish off this, and even Christian, he couldn't.
Then Shimmer said, I will go and finish Hussein. Shimmer came. First, he kicked the leg of Hussein. Some narration says he kicked the head of Hussein. And then Shimmer sat on the chest of Abba Abdullah. Where was the turban of Hussein? Turban was thrown somewhere. Narration said, Zainab was standing and she was watching. She said, Mahalan, Mahalan, Yabna Zahra. Oh, Hestay, oh, Hestay, oh, the son of Zahra. Shimmer sat on the chest. Narration says, when he sat on the chest, he poked the lip of Hussein. And Shimmer removed the dagger. He started stabbing on the neck of Hussein. Allahu Akbar. Narration says he stabbed the neck 12 times. And until he removed the head completely. Wow, Sayyid. Zainab was standing. Zainab saw them, they were removing the belongings of Abba Abdullah. Oh, the heart of Zainab on the day of Ashur. They started removing all the belongings, the shoe, everything. Then the one came who wanted the ring of Abba Abdullah. He forcefully tried to remove the ring. He couldn't remove, huh? He had to take a sharp knife. He had to cut the finger of Hussein. He had to remove the ring from the hand of Hussein. And then they started trampling on the body. Arbab al-Makatil said they broke each and every bone of the body of Hussein alayhi salam. Then came the musibah of Zainab on Shami Ghariba. You know, that night was the difficult night for Zainab alayhi salam. Rubaba was looking for Ali ibn al-Asghar. The servant of Daylam was looking for the body of Zuhair ibn al-Kayna. He went with the cloth to cover Zuhair. He came back. Zainab and Daylam asked him, why did you didn't cover the body of Zuhair? He said, I saw Hussein uncovered. Final moment, Zainab slept and she dreamed Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen. Imam Ali was in a black cloth. Imam Ali came. Zainab did not recognize. She said, oh man, don't hate us anymore. They hate us so much. He said, oh Zainab, can't you recognize your father? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْكَلَبٍ يَنْكَلِبُونَ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Let's all participate in the ma'atam of tonight. It is the ma'atam of Sayyida Zainab alayha salam. It is the night of Arba'een. The head of Abba Abdullah is on spears in the court of Yazid. And the body is somewhere in the land of Karbala. لَبَّيْكَ يَا حُسَيْنَ. لَبَّيْكَ يَا حُسَيْنَ. يَا حُسَيْنَ.